From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State. Free fishing weekend going on. You can hit the waters, the rivers, the creeks, the streams, the lakes of Michigan. You can fish. You don't need a license, but you do need to follow the rules for size and catch limits. And you can go to Michigan.gov/DNR for all the fishing rules here in Michigan. And it's a great opportunity to get people out and about, people that have never fished before, or even kids, to get them out. You don't have to buy a whole bunch of licenses. So Saturday and Sunday this weekend, it is the free fishing weekend. And thanks again for the Michigan DNR putting on two of those throughout the course of the year. And of course, the winter one gives people an opportunity to ice fish if the ice is safe. And get out, man. Get out and experience ice fishing. That's something I enjoy a great deal. Didn't really do much last year and this year, but again, I love ice fishing a great deal. We're going to get into some things, of course, broke in the news this week, broke in the news a couple of weeks ago. We're going to be talking about both of them. This segment brought to you by HHA Sports, the number one single pin archery site in the industry. You can check out the Optimizer Kingpin Light, the only archery sight you will ever need, and that is available for looking, for perusal, at wildmichiganradio.com. That is our website that features the podcast and everything else. But joining me right now, Dr. Steve Schmidt, the Michigan DNR wildlife veterinarian. Dr. Schmidt, H5N2, the avian flu virus, has been found in three goslings in Sterling Heights, Michigan, in Macomb County. And this has been devastating to captive fowl across 20 states. It's caused the lives of 50 million poultry, either by the virus itself or the putting down of these birds. Welcome, sir, and it's been a busy week for you already.
Yes, it has been, but glad to be on the show because we need to get this information out.
And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to get the information out first and foremost, and it coming from you is probably the best way I can think of. We know this is in migratory waterfowl, but how does it get into the domestic population that we have, the farm-raised birds?
Right. Well, this is these avian influenza viruses, and there's a bunch of them. There's 144 different subtypes, and there's different strains under them. They're always constantly mutating, and they occur naturally in wild waterfowl worldwide, have for 1,000 years or more. And so nothing new there, but every once in a while you get a subtype that can cause a problem with domestic poultry. Basically, that's what high pathogenic means, that it kills chickens. And this particular strain is killed, as you mentioned earlier, either killed or because they had to euthanize infected flocks. About 50 million birds cost the federal government over $500 million. We found it in Michigan in the three goslings. We have not found it in the commercial flocks, and we hope it stays that way.
Exactly. Speaking with Dr. Steve Schmidt, Michigan DNR wildlife veterinarian, how did we notice these three goslings? I mean, goslings are everywhere right now, but how did we notice these three specifically to be infected?
Well, and again, one thing I didn't mention, I said that these avian influenza viruses are in waterfowl. It normally doesn't cause any symptoms at all in them. They're asymptomatic. But every once in a while, and particularly if you have young birds, you can have some showing symptoms, and they're neurological symptoms. These particular birds were swimming in circles, had head tremors. One of them had some seizures, so a fairly severe neurological disease. And one of them died on their own. The other two were euthanized by a local veterinarian.
When they start swimming in circles, I've seen fish with that whirling disease. They just kind of go around circle, and I guess that would be kind of suspect if you're viewing these birds out in the wild.
Exactly, and that's what we want. We want people, if they see some abnormally acting waterfowl, ducks, geese, or swans, that might be an indication of avian influenza. Although it's rare, as I said, you know, very rarely does it cause, you know, any disease or mortality in wild birds. But if they see that, you know, to call the local DNR office, and they'll try to get out there and bring them back and send them to the lab where I work.
Speaking with Dr. Steve Schmidt from the Michigan DNR Wildlife, he's the veterinarian on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Dr. Schmidt, these migratory waterfowl that carry it, and again, like you said, they are not, they pretty much go as business as usual, and it's okay with them, but the younger birds, it was definitely something obvious. But what are the precautions? What has the DNR put in place for an emergency plan now that we've found this in these three goslings?
Well, one of the things that we've drawn a 10-mile radius circle around the positive goslings, and in that area, we will normally, if you live in southern Michigan particularly, you know that there's a lot of nuisance geese, you know, on lakes where we have houses around them, golf course, places where we can't hunt them. And so there's a roundup each year that people, you know, if they want the geese removed, and then the DNR will select some sites and move them to areas where they would be appreciated, mm-hmm. particularly in the fall. But anyway, we, in that 10-mile radius circle, any of those geese that are rounded up, the nuisance geese, we are going to euthanize them and test a subsample, about 200 of them, for avian influenza.
All right, Dr. Steve Schmidt is our guest here, Michigan DNR wildlife veterinarian. Now, what about backyard farms? A lot of folks have gone to poultry in the backyards, and there's some cleaning methods that we really need to be careful with when traveling maybe from their pen to maybe even to other farms. Or maybe we go and visit the ducks at a park someplace. We really need to be aware of how clean our shoes are and things of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely. They call that biosecurity. And that's, you'd asked that question earlier, and I didn't, you know, I forgot about it when I was talking. But basically, the wild birds have it, and they move it around. They move it north and south, you know, up and down the flyways. It's been seen in the Pacific, Central, and Mississippi. And I wouldn't, you know, I would bet that there's some in the Atlantic. It's moved from British Columbia starting back in 2014. So the wild birds would have it, but the wild bird isn't going to transmit it directly to, you know, a commercial bird, which is going to be inside a building. So it needs to get inside that building, and that's moved by humans, whether it's fecal material, saliva, nasal secretion. That's where the virus comes out of the infected bird. And you can get that on your pants, on your boots, and then if you take it into a poultry operation, you can transmit it indirectly that way. And so most of the big poultry operations, they actually, where you know, strip down, take all your clothes off, go through a door, and then you put on clothes that are used just for work, and they mm-hmm. remain in there. Some of them actually have a shower. You shower in and shower out, and that obviously would be the best. The most likely, though, if you know, when we're talking domestic poultry, would be the backyard flocks, where they're out in the open. And there you could actually have some direct transmission if you had some domestic ducks or geese in the wild birds came in. But the same thing applies. Domestic ducks and geese are much more resistant to it than domestic chickens or turkeys.
Dr. Steve Schmidt is our guest here on Wild Michigan, talking about the virus that was found in three goslings in Macomb County, H5N2 avian flu. And it's caused some havoc in the Midwest here, and we have found it here in Michigan, but we are not in panic mode. We're not going out. Don't go shooting everything that you see, and this is why we have you on the show. Dr. Steve Schmidt, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
No problem.
All right. We'll keep an eye out, and if you got anything, report michigan.gov/DNR. This segment brought to you by HHA Sports, the number one single-pin archery site in the nation. Check them out at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an to tie in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook there. Also, find out what's going on during this free fishing weekend. Again, Saturday and Sunday, no need for a fishing license, but you do have to follow the rules and regulations of size and catch limits while you're out there. This segment being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses, the clearest lenses on the planet. And believe you me, when I say that, I love love my Costa sunglasses. I never thought I would like another pair other than what I used to use. I have so changed my mind. CostaDelMar.com. There is a link on our website at WildMichiganRadio.com. Barb Avers is now going to join us. She is the waterfowl and wetlands specialist for the Michigan DNR. And we just got off the phone with Dr. Steve Schmidt to tell us about what the impact on domestic fowl, on chickens, domestic ducks and geese, on what the H5N2 avian flu virus can have on these birds. Now, Barb Avers, being a waterfowl and wetland specialist, we have a question directed towards you. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Second, is what impact is the H5N2, what could it have on our wild waterfowl and upland game bird population?
So really, and you know, Dr. Schmidt probably said this as well, our wild waterfowl populations in particular, you know, migratory birds, they carry a lot of these avian influenzas. They always have, they always will. This one is a particular concern because of the poultry industry, but for our wild populations, we don't anticipate that it's going to have any effect on it. You know, we're finding a few dead goslings, but overall, we don't, you know, we don't expect this to have any impact on our populations, and, you know, telling hunters there's nothing to worry about, and, you know, things still will probably look great in the fall.
And that's good because, look, we love our waterfowl and we're very conscious about these diseases. And the first thing we want to preach and tell everybody, much like CWD, this is even a no panic situation, probably bigger than CWD, that we have even less to fear. But when it comes to our domestic poultry, that's when we have some issues.
That's correct. Yep. You know, as far as we know, and you know, to date, the risk to people from this specific high pathogenic avian influenza that we're seeing is the risk is really low to humans. And again, you know, the concern is more you know, with the poultry industry and that disease, that virus getting into poultry facilities. So wild populations, you know, we're good, and you know, we as humans, you know, shouldn't be concerned either. You know, we do have some suggestions for hunters, you know, when you are out there. Really nothing different than we've preached before, just in general. But, you know, wash your hands, you know, certainly after you clean your game. You know, wash and disinfect your hunting equipment. You know, cook waterfowl, you know, so when you do go hunting, come home, cook your waterfowl to at least 165 degrees internal temperature. You know, a lot of these are just precautions we tell hunters to take anyway, regardless of the avian influenza that we've recently detected.
Barb Avers is our guest here with the Michigan DNR. Kind of, you know, we're getting this all out there now in probably the best way I know how. Again, speaking the first segment with Dr. Steve Schmidt about what the H5N2 avian flu virus can do to domestic waterfowl, and then to have you calm everybody to say that it's not really an issue for the wild game. He said off air that mallard and teal seem to be probably the biggest offenders in this case.
That's right. Yeah, actually, you know, the birds that we found that tested positive for this H5N2, you know, they were Canada geese, which really aren't great carriers of this virus. They get it, and in this case, you know, especially with the goslings, it was lethal to them, but, you know, they don't spread it very well. It's actually, yeah, we've found it that it's the ducks, you know, migratory ducks, specifically mallards and teal. like Dr. Schmidt mentioned, you know, they are probably the ones actually spreading it around. So, and again, you know, it's tough. They're wild birds. They're migratory. They're moving around all over the place. So, you know, again, I said, you know, these wild waterfowl especially carry a lot of these different avian influenzas. They're not harmful to us humans. Again, take those precautions like I mentioned. You know, we tell hunters to do that all the time anyway. But really, you know, not a concern, and, you know, it's not like it's going, we're not going to be seeing big die-offs, certainly, in our wild populations.
Barb Avers is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Barb, when you say 165 degrees temperature, that means usually an actual cooking thermometer, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and that's a great point. Yes, when we say 165 degrees internal temperature, use a cooking thermometer to measure that. You know, the old how pink is it inside test isn't going to cut it. Absolutely, we recommend that hunters, you know, anybody use a cooking thermometer.
And I know that, you know, for wild game, a lot of us, you know, it needs to be a little bit more rare because of what's, you know, the minerals inside and getting into the blood, you know, when cooking. But again, do you want to be safe or do you want to be sick?
Right. And I, you know, I do think there's a lot of great recipes out there that will still work with, you know, being able to cook that to 165 degrees internal temperature. So still lots of very tasty ways to prepare your waterfowl, even if you cook it to that temperature.
Yeah. Don't pan. You know, there's I'd like to make take my goose breast, cube it up and warm it up, you know, heat it up first, and then make chili out of it for the long slow cook. So, So I get it. You know, it's one of those things that it may not be the most appealing thing to people, but when they eat it, it's, oh, this is goose.
That's right.
You know, it really kind of changes their mind a little bit.
Yes.
So what else do we have to look forward to come the season? I mean, and it's really good. I first have to say this, that it's not really found in the Canada geese. I mean, it's not going to kill them off because right now we are seeing so many goslings right around where I work. If there's a remote body of water, they are covering it right now.
That's right. Actually, you know, we're seeing the same thing. It does look like it was a very good, an excellent year for Canada goose production especially. So I would anticipate that our early Canada goose season that starts on September 1st, you know, should be very good for hunters because it does look like there's a lot of geese around.
Yeah, I am shocked. We have them going through the parking lot here at work, at the studios of Wild Michigan. And, you know, and a lot of times we'll see a pair of geese and then there'll be like 15 goslings. Do they take turns getting them to feed and walking them around?
Yeah, they, you know, they can have some broods that are pretty big, you know, maybe even up to like 9 or 10 goslings, you know, for just one pair. But, yeah, geese are, you know, they will easily, you know, adopt, if you will, other broods, and so sometimes you get these gang broods that kind of all group together, and, you know, one set of parents will kind of take over the whole thing, and that's not uncommon to see in Canada geese.
All right, Barb Avers, thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate the information. Michigan's waterfowl population seems to be safe thus far. We'll keep an eye on it. And again, more information at wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you by Costa Sunglasses.